This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest. Rakesh Narasimhan is the president and CEO of Anitian, A-N-I-T-I-A-N.com. They offer the fastest path for security and compliance for your existing and your new cloud apps. So Rakesh, welcome, and tell us about cloud compliance automation platforms. What do you do? How do you do it? What are these things you're offering?
Excellent. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on here. It's a pleasure. So compliance automation platform is really a mechanism for providing the fastest path for cloud applications to achieve both compliance as well as security controls in the marketplace. Traditionally, developers and companies, enterprises, would have to try to do this manually through consulting or by themselves. And we've just provided a software-based platform to automate that and then get from dev to production, if you will. That's what we do.
What kind of compliance are you talking about?
There's a whole series of them. There's PCI, there's SOC, SOC 2. We've focused a lot on the FedRAMP controls, if you will. Traditionally, large SaaS applications that want to enter a vertical market, a regulated market, especially the federal government, if you will, were the fastest path to get there because they're trying to go after the government market to sell. And we help them achieve the compliance of the FedRAMP standard in the quickest way. And that actually helps them be able to go sell into the marketplace with their applications. It's the fastest time to market and fastest time to revenue. Those are key things for any SaaS application who's trying to sell into the federal government. So we make that happen pretty quickly.
So let's say my organization was offered the opportunity to redo healthcare.gov and make it a much better experience. And I, of course, am using Azure or AWS, you know, doing it in the cloud for scalability. And we write our really cool app. It's a database. It's taking social security numbers. It's looking up medical records. It's all about, you know, HIPAA compliance and confidentiality and all that. Where do you plug in? Do you plug in and say, hey, guys, you didn't encrypt the data. You've got a SQL injection risk. Are you auditing for vulnerabilities and showing holes? Are you saying, hey, here's the 22 steps to HIPAA compliance and you've only done 18? How could you help me, you know, improve or fix my platform for compliance? And then how do you make it more secure?
Yeah, that's actually the bread and butter scenario for a company of ours. So what ends up happening is we work with, there's two aspects here, right? There's one is a traditional SaaS company who provides their functionality into the new marketplace, if you will. And so we have three parts to it. We onboard the said company, if you will. So we create the environment, not just our environment, but also all the software of third parties we work with, so that the company does not have to worry about it. It's a pre-engineered platform. You sign up with us a few hours, we have the entire environment done, deployed and ready to go. Also that, what that means is you've picked either Azure or AWS as your cloud provider of choice. And so then once we know that, we actually go deploy and get that environment ready. So that's the first part. Then there's a journey that we work with the B2B enterprise or the SaaS provider to basically start looking at all the security controls that we need to have in the environment and start mapping their application to this environment. Remember that we don't know what's inside of your app if you're the customer. Well, we help your folks to actually work with our team to get the security controls in our environment connected, so that we can start getting information into the environment and also know the security controls themselves. So that's the first step. In addition, we also offer a 24/7 SecOps service so that we can do monitoring, we can do vulnerability management, threat mitigation, if you will. And those things happen once we've actually integrated your application into this environment for that compliance regime. So if it's FedRAMP, we do that FedRAMP. If it's any other compliance regime, we do the same thing. The biggest benefit to the customer is it's a platform where you have not just a first standard, but any other standard that comes up in the future. You're basically just buying a platform to upgrade through that. So instead of you having to do every time something comes up, you're doing something brand new, you have a baseline and then you're basically upgrading that over time. And that's certainly, it's very useful for the first acceleration, but it's also not just getting compliant, but also staying compliant, if you will. So we enable all of that. Hopefully that makes sense in terms of how you enter the cloud, how we actually get you integrated, and then how we help you actually monitor and stay on top of the security to make sure there's no other vulnerabilities and threats.
So for example, in that healthcare.gov, one day we start taking credit cards, now we have to comply with Visa PCI.
Yeah.
You've already taken care of that for us.
Correct. So that's typically how it works, right? Because you want to make sure those PCI standards are taken care of. We've actually gotten that ready. Also remember, we're the platform who gets you ready. We still have to get you audited, right? So you have auditors we work with. So we get you audit ready, and all the information that we provide is digital. So the auditors are able to take that information and go through audit themselves. Remember, traditionally, all of this is manual, time-consuming, error-prone. So by basically automating it and making even the 3PAO ready to receive an audit, we've just cut down the errors, cut down the time, and also the difficulty, if you will, to getting to market. And so PCI is certainly one of them. FedRAMP is one of them. And then some people would be like, I did FedRAMP. I want to go to FedRAMP High. In other cases, people would be like, I want to go all the way up to IL5. And so we provide the not just a baseline, but also the building block for them to move on to other security controls, which are much more stringent in requirements. But we're enabling that to get done in an automated way because they already have a baseline. That's one of the biggest benefits. It's speed to market, but also staying compliant over time.
So back to compliance automation platform, what's the automation? Is it constant observation of, you know, security risks or vulnerabilities or strange use cases or, you know, oops, someone's password hasn't changed in a while or they should have been using multi-factor auth? What kinds of things is the automation doing and how do you alert your clients when they're at risk of being out of compliance?
Great question. It's actually all of the above, but the way it works is, we do a fair amount of work first to do a setup of the environment itself and third-party software. So if your application uses containers, how often are the containers secured? How often are they scanned? If you have a web app, how often are those things scanned? All those things, as you can imagine, generate a lot of data, a lot of noise, if you will. A big portion of our value add is not just taking that data, but refining it and providing the insight from them on what you should be doing something about. Because what can happen is you generate such a flood of signals that it might seem like it's value add, but it actually isn't, right? Because it's noise. And so once we get the environment up and ready, once we get the application into the environment, now the actual work starts about generating are we seeing any vulnerabilities in any one of the stacks? It could be, is it our database level? Is it at the container level? And then container security needs to be addressed. Is it a cloud native app or is it a traditional app? So depending on what the app type is, we're able to actually do the scanning for the vulnerabilities themselves. In addition, we do a lot of threat hunting and threat mitigation itself actively. This is part of our SecOps service. So there's really the environment itself we've set up, the catch configuration mistakes, encryption or not, you know, are you FIPS compliant or not? These are all standard checks we do regularly to get the platform up and running. And then there's an active part of monitoring it for vulnerabilities and threats, if you will. And so the service in the back end does the last part, which is if we already know that we're doing that in the life cycle, then we have a way to mitigate that with the service itself in the back end. All of that together is the reason why the customer has comfort in knowing that not only are they getting compliant, but also staying compliant. The biggest benefit of all this, of course, is I use the word compliance a lot, but if you really think about it, a lot of it is really security controls and configuration. A lot of things happen because people don't get that right, and we standardize that and automate that. That's the reason why we're able to stay consistent and scale and secure.
That's great. So Anishian has a SecOps team, and you keep an eye on your clients 724/365?
You got it. Yeah, that's part of our offering. And historically, I would have thought that enough teams do that already. In our experience, what we found is because we get the platform out and get their app integrated into it, once we get the SecOps running, most enterprises, SecOps teams are very busy and they have enough things in their plate. this is one of those things that just works. And so they're like, since this is working, let's leave it alone. In fact, oftentimes I find our customers renew this service first because A, hard to find talent like that. And when you find them and you train them, they leave. And so getting consistency in the security service is a very important area, an area that we need a lot more talent, frankly. And we do a great job of actually having quite a few talented people on our staff. And so we're able to do that, that function, provide that service to the customer because it's one less thing for them to worry about.
Rakesh, do your clients also need MSSPs or MDR providers, or, you know, do you complement those or do you replace them or offer, you know, some cross capability?
I find that most of our customers already have one or many of those, if you will. And I initially thought that as we went to market that there would be a lot of friction in saying that I already have this, like, why do I need this from you? But what we found is that because we're very focused on achieving in time a particular outcome for the customer, there rarely has been an issue of friction around the MDR service, if you will. What we found is customers take our platform, get the app integrated, and once it hits SecOps and it runs, the discussion is not really about what kind of MDR service you use because it's focused on our platform and our third-party products we bring into that platform. We already know what that environment looks like, and we're doing SecOps for that. We don't pretend that we're doing any service, any third-party thing for which we're providing SecOps service. Mm-hmm. And so we're very clear about that. And the more we do that successfully, taking them to an ATO, the authority to operate, and then continue to offer the security service onwards, I have found that most of the times, this is hardly the issue that ends up becoming a discussion point. In the beginning, it certainly is, as you can imagine. People have already bought a site license for something or a large license for something. And they're concerned that, hey, should I be really spending money separately? But because the ROI is so huge, because the time frame in which we get something done is big and accelerated, rarely have I found that to be a friction, if you will.
And compliance in the cloud, understanding the cloud and how the cloud functions, and security related issues to the cloud is very different than an endpoint or a standard firewall. So it's so Rakesh, would I'm just curious, would a Salesforce be a good client for you? You know, would HubSpot or Hootsuite or anybody running their own custom SaaS app?
Yeah, I think we really have three types of customers. The first type is in the compliance business is any SaaS app who wants to go into a vertical market. For example, FedRAMP on the government side, PCI for Ultrine, right? So that's one sort of customer. So any SaaS app who's in the cloud. We don't touch anything on premise primarily because it has a lot of complexities that we have to solve for that are custom by customer. That's as a startup, we have to focus on scale where we can help the largest number of customers, if you will. And we found that focusing on cloud, AWS and Azure, to be a great place for us to solve this problem. So that's one type of customers. Second type of customers is government agencies who are trying to have a traditional app that they're trying to take to a cloud, for example, Azure or AWS. And we provide that pre-engineered environment for them to move in for security. So if we already provide that and the app is integrated into that environment, they just made the migration into the cloud, which is a huge problem for a lot of government agencies. The last one is really B2B enterprises who are back to the point you made, which is, I just don't want to get into the whole endpoint versus a new firewall. Just like compute, storage, and networking became much more broader that people could just go acquire, security has not hit that milestone, if you will. We're providing a way for customers to worry about the app security, but get them into an environment that's pre-engineered. It's the fastest time to get to compliance and security. If I did that, then I'm just procuring something to operate it, not having to build best of breed from different vendors to go do this myself. I'm getting out of that business. I'm having somebody else do it. That's typically the other kind of customers we see. Enterprises who want us to run it for them so that they can get more applications into the environment, not custom build every one of these parts, if you will. Does that make sense? So those three customers are the guys.
Absolutely. Now I get it. And on that note, do you think that you know, is Google Cloud not as popular for businesses to spin up SaaS apps like Amazon or Microsoft or IBM? Are there other cloud providers that you've been looking at, or it's just these two guys own the market?
Great question. I think for us, we focused on Amazon because that's historically where we started. And I'm ex-Microsoft. I came from Microsoft, and I reached across to my colleagues and got the Azure part going. And we know the Google Cloud guys as well. So I think we have a lot of requests coming from customers in Google Cloud. It's just that our largest, as a startup, as you know, we got to focus. And the largest demand was in AWS and Azure. But increasingly, we are seeing quite a bit on other clouds as well. I mean, we see requests coming from Google, Oracle, IBM. And so our architecture is such that we're not limited by cloud providers, if you will. It's just more work we have to do to get that platform up and ready. To give you a sense, you know, we went within 6 months to just generate a brand new platform for Azure. And the modern architecture and technologies available, frankly, make it easier. This is not like complete platform rebuild like in the old days. The clouds have actually made it really easy for us to get things out to their clouds. And so it's just a matter of timing. AWS first, Azure next, and we have Google and the others in the pipeline already.
Do you have any case studies or customer testimonials and stories that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners? Just a snippet, an example on how quickly you've been deployed and how much help you've given for security and compliance.
Yeah, there's great ones out there. I mean, we have Smartsheet is a company that many of you would know about, the enterprise collaboration here in the Seattle area. And they, you know, it was one of the fastest time to audit ready, 60 days. Wow. And it is not something that usually people hear about when you think about it. Most people almost are not believing it. The proof is in the pudding. We took Smartsheet through ATO in that time frame, got them ready. Then the 3PO did their audit and got through them. And remember, this particular thing happened during the government shutdown.
Wow.
So that gives you a sense for, there's a lot of work done in our platform side and the integration side to prep for that. There's a good part for the customer, the SaaS provider, to also play here. So if you do that predestined, pre-engineered path we provide, it goes pretty well. Once you stray off of there, you know, the timeline could lag, if you will. We found a optimal way for us to get a customer there. So Smartsheet is one of them. Volterra is another one of them. We have quite a few other big companies coming up that are very record time to the market, if you will. But I think I'll highlight the thing that is most important. The software platform allows us to automate and accelerate pretty quickly to get to this particular goal. And companies are interested in doing something like that. And Smartsheet was certainly trying to do that because they wanted to go to the federal market and offer that in the marketplace. So the ability for a SaaS company to be able to, within a quarter, be able to go sell on a completely new vertical, and the cost of doing that is recoverable in the first project when you have, that's a very compelling argument for people to do it. And the timeline in which we do it, the example I gave you is 60 days, time and time again, it shows up in our customer base. People who want to come to us, oftentimes, quite a few customers would come to us because they have a broken project. As in, we've been at it for a while, we have a lot of consultants, spent a lot of money, we still haven't made the deadlines we thought we would. What can you guys do for us? And oftentimes, we actually start there and try to get them through ATO itself. We have quite a few examples of those as well.
That's great. Rakesh, is there anything else you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners that we haven't covered?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, any one of the companies, B2B companies, government agencies, SaaS companies, if you're looking to get compliant and secure in the cloud, look us up. We can help you with that. And we hope to provide that service and timeline for you. I'd appreciate an email or a call. I'll give you my email, rakesh@anishin.com. Go ahead and send us a mail. We'll make sure our team will help you achieve that security and compliance needs of yours.
That's awesome. Rakesh Narasimhan, you have made it through the hot seat, the president and CEO of Anishian, A-N-I-T-I-A-N, or pronounced Anishian properly, A-N-I-T-I-A-N.com. You've heard he's giving you his email. I'm giving you the website for the fastest path to security and compliance for either an existing or new cloud app. You've got to go to his website. You've got to contact him. ASAP, fastest path to compliance.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.